3. Always on the cutting edge.
Welcome back, and we proceed with Drive Time, 0722380712. That's the WhatsApp line. Seven years ago, African leaders committed themselves to working towards an end to armed conflict. As they marked the 50th anniversary of the founding of the African Union, they pledged to ensure lasting peace on the continent. At the time of the declaration, Africa had disproportionately high levels of conflict. So why has the African Union failed to silence the guns, and what are the solutions? Online is Director and Research Fellow, Center for Study of Governance and Innovation at the University of Pretoria, Christopher Changwe Nshimbi. Good afternoon, and thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Shafiq, and thank you for having me on your program.
Thank you very much. Just give us a background to this declaration. I know it's been 7 years since the African Union came up with this slogan of silencing the guns on the African continent, but so far we haven't seen anything. Just give us a background to that.
It's, of course, a continuing effort on the part of the African Union to achieve transformation on the continent and also to develop the continent. So it's part of a long-standing agenda from the time we started fighting against colonialism. And now the idea was to end conflicts and war on the continent. And it's basically part of also the Agenda 2063, which I'm sure you know was spearheaded by Dr. Dlamini Zuma. So in 2015, they said, okay, let's now see if we can work towards ending conflict and silencing the guns by 2020. So that's a brief overview of the idea behind this.
But on the contrary, nothing has moved. In fact, not only the 50 years that the African Union was incepted, we may talk even more of those years that Africa hasn't been stable, especially when we look into the Maghreb region as well as the Rift Valley and Central Africa. But my focus is on the internal conflicts that spring about in these areas. Why do you think the AU has failed to kind of end the war on the African continent?
Well, the challenges are many that the AU is facing with regards to ending the conflicts on the continent. But the major reason, if you read the article that I wrote on the conversation, the major reason that I attribute to the failure is that, first of all, the desire to end conflicts, or the goal to end conflicts by 2020, I think it was a bit over ambitious. I mean, something to manage within 7 years, I think, was a bit over ambitious. But also, secondly, it's because of the nature of the conflicts that you find on the continent. Most of these conflicts are not between states, but they happen within states. Now, there's a provision within the Constitutive Act of the African Union where there's respect that is accorded to the sovereignty of nation states or the member states of the African Union. So in my reading of the literature and also writings around some of the challenges to ending conflict in Africa, what I find is that seems to pose a major obstacle to actually the African Union intervening in member states, because the member states have this sovereignty, and so for it to go in, it would be some kind of violation of that principle of respecting the sovereignty of member states.
Now, let's just take an example of, for instance, a country like Libya, which is currently embroiled in a fierce battle there within the factions in that country. And then, on the other hand, we have seen that there's a big interest, especially from foreign powers, who are funding these belligerents within Libya. Does the African Union have that caliber to actually, you know, finish this conflict? Because when I look at the operations of the African Union, actually, I may call it moribund.
That would be a bit too harsh. But to be frank, currently the African Union is clearly absent from Libya and what is happening in Libya. And as you have said, the foreign powers are the ones that seem to be very active and actually adding or fueling the conflict in there. So the African Union is really, strictly speaking, still wringing its hands about the conflict in Libya. One of the challenges it faces, again, not to dwell so much on the issue of sovereignty of states, is the respect for the boundaries and the borders that form the states on the African continent. But also, because Libya is a sovereign state, it has engaged in bilateral agreements with some of these countries that are fighting. So there's a sense in which it has bypassed the African Union and entered into bilateral agreements with foreign entities who are now fighting there. So that's one of my recommendations in the article. If you read the article towards the end, I say if only the African Union could be given that power to be able to have a say with regards to what member states are able to engage with, especially pertaining to countries that are outside the continent. Maybe that would be helpful in settling some of these challenges that are within Africa.
You also highlighted the double standards that the African Union has been playing. We saw in Libya, in Egypt in 2013 when Sisi made a coup. Fast forward to that, I think 2 years after that, he was made the chair of African Union. And when you look at one of the clauses of the African Union, they say they don't condone coups, actually. And the same thing applied to Zimbabwe when President Robert Mugabe was overthrown, and nothing was mentioned when Chiwenga was made the vice president there. In terms of these double standards and the lack of consistency within the African Union, do you think it's one of the reasons which is derailing all the efforts to ensure that Africa becomes very peaceful?
And actually, it's one of the factors that causes some of these leaders on the continent to be bold in going their own way and trying to, you know, not to follow the rule of law. But again, as you are saying, there's a lot of inconsistency. If you look at, for example, Yahya Jammeh in the Gambia, they were very quick actually to remove him. But that also partly owes to the regional organization in West Africa, where partly because they've had enough of these coups and they don't want to have anything to do with them, they're very quick to respond and say, acting together with the AU. So the regional economic community acting together with the AU, they say, no, we don't want to tolerate or condone any of this act. But still, I do somehow agree with you to say there's a sense in which the AU is always kind of caught on the back foot and seems not to know what to do. And so it ends up seeming to be, you know, playing double standards here. The way it treats one country will be different from the way it treats another country. But as I propose, I think it should be empowered where you see that there's a violation of human dignity. The AU should just have be empowered to step in and stop atrocities that are perpetrated or violations of human rights and human dignity.
And just the final question: What are your views on the Franco-Africa Pact? Because we saw last week, in fact, 2 weeks ago, that the French government pulled some of their agreements with the Franco-African countries that they have in terms of, you know, the monopoly that they have in controlling, which actually fuels more monopoly on the African Union using the Franco-speaking African countries.
You know, the way I would answer that question is the shock that I had the first time I went to Senegal, and I went to buy some groceries in a shop, and I was told the currency they were using is a CFA, and I got to learn that basically it's somewhat controlled from the Central Bank of France. I was so shocked to see a group of countries after the 2000s, in the new century, having their currency controlled in a central bank that is outside the continent. So for me, if you see countries where they are basically kind of gaining control of not only their resources, but also in terms of determining their futures. I think that's a positive outlook for the continent.
That's Christopher Changwenshimbi, Director and Research Fellow, Center for the Study of Governance and Innovation at the University of Pretoria, speaking to us concerning the African Union and their failure to silence the guns on the continent. Mr. Nshimbi, thank you very much for speaking to us.
Thanks, Shafiq.